Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm going to call the meeting to order. There's only one public information meeting this evening, and it is concerning the growth forecasts for the town of Caledon and the review of the growth options. The purpose of the public meeting is to gather input from the public concerning the growth forecasts review. Hai Cheng Hu, Manager of Policy and Sustainability for the Town of Caledon, and Jamie Cook of Watson & Associates will be providing a presentation. Following the presentation, members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, stating their name and address, and provide their comments. Since we have such a large gathering this evening, I would ask if you are with a group that you appoint a spokesperson, because I do not want to hear over and over and over again the same thing. We would like to keep it clean and moving along. I can tell you that when you come forward to the podium here, please print your name and your address on the speaker's list on the podium, as well as the notification list, if you wish to be notified of when the staff report, including the recommendation, will be presented to council at a future council meeting. I think this is the perfect time for me to point out that there are no decisions being made this evening, that it is strictly an opportunity for the council of the town of Caledon to hear from the residents. If you have presentation material, please provide a copy to the recording secretary at the desk to your left. Please note that any information submitted this evening will form part of the town's record. Following the public's comments, members of council will be invited to ask questions of the presenters regarding the information contained within the presentation. Please note that the council members are here to listen to the comments from the public and are not here to provide a position on the matter. And if they start doing that, I will cut them off. We're all here to listen. There's no decisions this evening. And it would be appreciated if we had, a spokesperson for each group. Once everyone with comments or questions has had an opportunity to speak, then the meeting will be adjourned. So I will now call upon Hai Cheng Hu, Manager of Policy and Sustainability for the Town of Caledon, and Jamie Cook of Watson & Associates to provide the presentation.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and members of Council, and all members of the public who are here tonight. Mr. Cook and I are going to take you through a very short presentation, but before that, I'd like to offer a very brief background of this whole exercise that we are being directed to go through under the Please Grow Act. In June 2013, the province of Ontario released Amendment Number 2 to the Growth Plan for the Great Golden Horseshoe, which extended the population and employment forecast to 2041. And affected municipalities are required to bring their respective official plans into conformity by June 17th, 2018. And since the growth plan gives population employment forecasts only to single-tier and upper-tier municipality, Peel Region is required to allocate the new growth forecasts to the lower-tier municipalities, and it must do so in consultation with area municipalities, meaning City of Brampton, City of Mississauga, and the Town of Caledon. The Region of Peel has initiated official plan review process under the Planning Act, with an open house held in the Town of Caledon on May the 8th, 2013, and a workshop on May 30th, 2013, to gather public opinions for this purpose. And as part of Peel Region's official plan review process, the town, as well as the City of Brampton and the City of Mississauga, are asked to provide its preferred or their preferred growth scenario to 2031 and to 2041 for region-wide analysis and balancing. There are region-wide requirements in the growth plan that Peel Region must meet. For example, the region must achieve a minimum greenfield density of 50 people and jobs per hectare, and a 40% residential intensification per year, every year after 2015. And these are region-wide calculations, meaning that all the preferred growth scenarios the lower-tier municipality provide are subject to change through the regional balancing or analysis. The town of Caledon initiated its process in June 2013, and retained Mr. Jamie Cook from Watson Associates, who is here with us tonight, to help us to conduct a very detailed and complicated demographic and fiscal analysis. We have had two council workshops held on June the 9th and September 17th in 2013, based on the discussions we have had with councillors in the workshop. We have made the following assumptions in the first slide that I'm showing you here now. Basically, we are proposing to return to the original town forecasts for 2031 that was submitted to Peel Region a couple of years ago through its ROPA 24 process. And we're also proposing to achieve a balance of size in the rural service centers of Bolton and Mayfield West by 2041. And we are also proposing to move towards a 70-30 residential and a non-residential tax split for the town. And also in the whole exercise, we are contributing to the growth plan requirements for intensification greenfield density for Peel Region. And the next slides gives you some of our findings so far. With more input we are going to receive today and in the next few days from the public, we may revise these proposals. Depends on our analysis and what we receive from the members of the public. So on top you can see it's 108,000 population by 2031 is what have been approved already by the Ontario Municipal Board. And the population of 113,000 by 2031 is what we are asking Peel Region, or we are proposing to Council to endorse and ask Peel Region to provide. And the last column regarding amendment number 2 by 2041, we have identified a range of population size between 132,000 and 100. Sorry, this number is a little different from the board you see outside. Based on option 3, it should be 167,000. Okay, so that's the range we're proposing for council consideration and for public review. And also in the bottom, you can see those employment totals. And with those in mind, I'm going to invite Mr. Cook to come and take over this and tell us how these numbers have come up and what kind of analysis we have conducted. If I may, with your permission, Madam Mayor, if I may invite Mr. Cook to come and talk about these. Thank you.
Thanks, Hai Ching. Good evening, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. So as Hai Ching mentioned, we've developed a series of growth options looking at a range between 132,000 and 167,000 by 2041. So we've compiled a total of 5 options, and we've done that using a variety of different growth forecasting approaches and methodologies. The first option we're referring to as the extrapolation of OPA 226 forecast to 2040. So this is essentially the current official plan forecast. We've looked at the historical rate of growth between 1991 and 2011. We further looked at what's approved in the official plan to 2031. And then we've said, okay, what if we took a similar percentage growth rate and a similar amount of housing construction between 2011 and 31, and we just carried that forward over the next 10 years after 2031, what kind of growth would we get? And so what that results in is an average rate of housing growth of around 800 units per year from 2031 to 41, which is generally consistent to what we're projecting from 2011 to 31. And on the employment side, this scenario looks at achieving a targeted employment activity rate of 45%. And an activity rate is just a fancy word essentially for the ratio of jobs to population. So we look at how many jobs are there to the local population within Caledon. It's 45%, so it's close to that one job for every two resident target that's identified in the official plan. In terms of the actual growth rate, from 2011 to 31, the current OP is growing at a rate of about 3% annually. And if we compare that historically to what we showed outside on the boards from 91 to 11, we're at about 2.6%, so just a little bit higher than what we've been doing over the last 20 years. And then after the 2031 to 41 period, the growth rate would decline, because we have a, when we're looking at a rate, we have a bigger base now, but we're assuming the same amount of housing construction. So the actual rate post 31 falls to 1.6. To give you a bit of a sense how we compare to the province has been growing at a rate of about just over 1% over the last 20 years, and it's projected to grow at a rate of just over 1% over the next 20 years. So clearly, Caledon is a high-growth municipality. It has been for a long time, and we expect it to continue, will continue to be in the next 20 years. This next option is what it's doing is it's looking at a targeted residential tax split. The target residential tax split that we are aiming at is 70% residential and 30% non-residential. And just to give you a sense, right now the current assessment split is around 82% residential, 18% non-residential. Comparatively, it's one of the lower ranking municipalities when we look at the percentage of non-residential tax assessment in the GTA. So clearly it's a key policy goal of the official plan to increase that non-residential tax split, to improve the overall fiscal sustainability of the municipality. So we've done that in this scenario. What we've done, one of the challenges of this scenario is that clearly if your population is growing and your residential assessment is growing at a fast rate, it's very hard for the non-residential to keep growing and actually increase and move that split higher if the residential is growing fast as well. So we've assumed that under this scenario, we wouldn't grow any faster on the residential side than we've grown in option one. So the population forecast in option two is the same as option one to try to achieve the best tax ratio that we could achieve, you know, within reason. We've also assumed under this scenario that any additional employment growth that occurs would be occurring in what we call export-based sectors, so sectors like industrial and office commercial. We don't want to see a scenario where we just let retail grow unmonitored. And also, it really doesn't make sense to see the retail component growing more if the population isn't growing any faster than in option two. So we thought it was reasonable to keep the retailer, the population-related employment, the same, and then increase the non-retailer, the export-based employment. And so in this scenario, to achieve a tax ratio of 70-30, we ultimately needed an employment target of 70,000 by 2041. And again, we're keeping the population at 132,000. That gives us a employment activity rate or a ratio of jobs to population of about 53%. Just to give you a bit of an idea of what a 1% increase would require, and it does require quite a bit. We'd need about a $97 million in industrial assessment or about $116 million in commercial assessment just to see that split increase by 1%. So to put that into context, the AMV Logistics Center down in Tullamore currently is giving us an annual assessment of about 83 million. It's about a million square feet. So you can get a sense, we're talking about, you know, an equivalent of another AMV and then maybe a little more to get that split up one more percent. This third option is a little more challenging, a little more complicated, but we wanted to explore the more of the macro issues that are looking at what's driving population growth in Caledon over the long term. Instead of just looking at scenarios saying how many houses do we want to say, well, why is Caledon going to grow? You know, why are we going to see this higher rate of, potentially rate of growth over the long term? And the real driver of this is Caledon's proximity to the GTA. And you can see here in this map, this is a map of the commuter shed, the primary commuter shed within the Caledon area. And this commuter shed is expected to grow The employment in this commuter shed is expected to grow by about a million employees over the next 30 years, 2041. And so as that commuter shed grows, that means there's more job opportunity for Caledon residents to commute within that commuter shed and live in Caledon. If we don't have jobs, there really isn't a major driver of population growth or net migration in an area. So we clearly have to understand, well, what's going to drive growth, and it's jobs. Jobs is going to attract people, it's going to attract net migration, which then places demand on housing. We also considered what Caledon's share of employment would be relative to that commuter shed over time, and we've looked at a number of factors, considering the available, on a high level, the available supply of employment lands within Peel Region post 2011, and specifically post 2031. We've also looked at major infrastructure that exists today, like access to a myriad of highways, Highway 407, 427, 410. We've also looked at proposed infrastructure like the 427 extension, potential GO Rail services to Bolton, and the potential east-west highway corridor running through Caledon. We think all those things is going to significantly increase Caledon's share of employment within that commuter shed over the long term. Lastly, we've looked at how much growth will Caledon receive relative to the amount of growth that's been allocated to Peel Region in terms of employment. Just to provide you a bit of background, the places to grow numbers that the province puts out for the Greater Golden Horseshoe for population employment, they've amended the places to grow figures, and they've increased the numbers for Peel Region. For employment, they've increased the numbers by 10,000 more jobs by 2031, and they've increased the 2041 numbers by 90,000. We've assumed that the Caledon by 31 would receive about 7,500 of those jobs, assuming that it's going to receive the greater share of job growth on employment lands, or what we would typically consider to be industrial lands. And then post 2031, again, it would receive about 45% of those jobs, given the amount of population growth and opportunities for employment land development based on those drivers that I mentioned. So under this scenario, we ultimately, what this generates is a high growth scenario, and it's the highest growth scenario that we've developed out of the five options. It results in a very very aggressive amount of housing growth post 2031. Sorry, just to back up, I want to be clear that under this scenario, we still assume that the 2031 numbers for population are 113,000. And just to provide everyone a bit of context, in every scenario, we're assuming 113,000 for 2031. So I just want to be clear that under all the scenarios, we're not really looking at major changes in the rate of population growth to what's already established in the official plan. We are assuming an additional 5,000. In this scenario and all the scenarios for 31. But we are assuming a slightly greater amount of employment growth based on those assumptions that I just described. So at 2031, we're at 53,500. And then by 2041, the job growth is going to is forecast to increase significantly, as well as the population growth. The population forecast is at 167,000 by 2041, and the employment at 93,500. That represents an activity rate, or again, that ratio of about 56%, which is a very strong activity rate, looking more like what you'd see in a larger urban center today in the GTA. I'm going to turn it back over to Hai Ching. He's going to explain option 4 and 5.
Madam Mayor, option 4 and option 5 are the so-called policy-driven options. And these are two options developed based on official plan policies that have been there for a long time. And one of them being that the official plan calls that future development, or majority of future development, to be focused on the three rural service centers, being Bolton, Mayfield West, and Caledon East. And there is a capacity limit for Caledon East because of the limit of the Greenbelt plan, so that not really much can grow in this area. And as a result, future growth would have to be focused on the other two rural community centers. And this is one of the policy we have been based on. The other one is that the official plan calls the population size of the Bolton Rural Service Center and the Mayfield West Rural Service Center to become equal someday in the future. And based on that policy, staff assumed that by 2041, the population size of these two rural community rural service centers will become equal. I have to be very clear with you, Madam Mayor, that the official plan does not call a particular timeline that these two rural service centers would have to be equal in their population size. It's a staff assumption that by 2041, they would become equal. And based on that assumption, we developed option 4 and option 5. And the difference between option 4 and option 5 is really small. That option 4 would allow an additional 8,000 people as a settlement boundary area expansion, meaning that expanding further to the greenfield after 2031. This does not include what we are doing right now in the Bolton Residential Expansion Study, because that has already been approved. So what we are saying, or we're assuming, is that there will be an additional 8,000 growth in the Bolton area to the greenfield. And also we assume, or we are basically including 7,700 additional growth that is going to take place between 2031 and 2041 within the built-up area. It's called intensification. And we have been doing these public information or public open houses just 2 days ago, and we have received some more comments from members of our communities. These numbers can change in the future based on further analysis. This is why we put it to be confirmed, because the study is still ongoing. The intensification study is still ongoing. But we are fairly confident that the 7,700 intensification for the 10-year period is a reasonable number to be included in the consideration. So if you would include the 8,000 and a plus the 7,700 intensification, this is going to take the total Bolton population to 55,700 by 2041, based on assumptions. And then we use this number to apply this same number for Mayfield West and to determine how much Mayfield West will need to grow in order to achieve the same population size. And that is a whole calculation we have had in this table. As you can see, by 2041, Bolton and Mayfield West will be equal in population size, meaning that Mayfield West, if you look at the lower table, meaning that Mayfield West would have to grow an additional 27,200 after 2031, whereas in the Bolton area, the new growth into the Greenfield area is only 8,000, and the 7,700 is the intensification. Now, if you keep this in mind and move quickly on to option 5, the difference is very small. We only take out the 8,000 for Bolton. So that 8,000 disappears, meaning that the total population for Bolton by 2041 is reduced by 8,000, and it becomes only 47,700. And meaning that we're applying this number into Mayfield West, so the total amount of growth for Mayfield West will also be reduced by 8,000. So townwide, the reduction is 8,000. It's 16,000. And that's the only difference you will be seeing between option 4 and option 5. And this is the employment side. We're assuming in both option 4 and option 5, we're assuming the amount of employment will be following an activity rate of 50%, meaning that half the number of population will be employment. And that is just as simple as that. So divided by two, that's employment total. And a 50% is a widely recognized healthy activity rate in the planning field. And this slide provides you with a summary, and also the next slides provides you with some analysis. And again, I'm going to invite Mr. Cook to come over and explain to you particularly the tax split and also the evaluations we have done in the past few months. Thank you.
Thank you, Haiqing. So I just wanted to provide a little overview here, a quick overview of the growth options in terms of population growth rates and employment growth rates, as well as the employment activity rate and the tax split. So as you can see, our population forecasts for 2041 range from a low scenario of 132,000 in option one and option two to a high scenario of 167,000 in option three. And when we look at the annual growth rates, we see from 31, so I mentioned that from 11 to 31, every option is assuming the same rate at 3%. From 31 to 41, we have a range between 1.6% for option one and two to a high of 4% for option three. On the employment side, we have a range of employment from 59,000 in 2041 to a high of 94,000 rounded in option three, and that represents a growth rate range from 31 to 41 of approximately 2% annually for the low to a high rate of about almost 7% annually under option three. Under that, the second last category, activity rates, again, that ratio of population jobs, we range from a low under the option one of 45%. To a high of 56% in option three. Again, just to put this into context, our current activity rate right now is around 39% in 2011. And if we look at what the current, I looked at what the current activity rates are in some of the more larger urban areas in the GTA. If we look at Mississauga, their current activity rate as of 2006, the 2006 census, it was 57%. Markham was 58%. So under the growth option three, we're approaching a very strong activity rate, an activity rate that may be getting to the point where it's a little less reasonable, given that it's approaching, you know, comparable rates to Mississauga and Markham. The last category here is the residential non-residential tax ratio. So as I mentioned, we looked at in option two, we looked at what the required amount of employment growth would be to achieve a 70-30 tax assessment split. We also went back and did that same analysis to identify the tax ratio for each of the other options based on the numbers that we had arrived at. We did this by developing assumptions based on assessment from using assessment data, looking at recent residential development activity in plans of subdivision that have been constructed in the past 5 to 10 years. We also looked at a sample of non-residential development in the commercial industrial sector to help guide the amount of assessment growth that we'd expect to see from our employment forecast and population forecast. So as you can see, option one provides the provides a split of 74 residential, 26% non-residential, so the most weighted to residential. Option two is a 70-30 split. Option three generated an even higher amount of non-residential assessment because looking at the potential opportunities for job growth, both with respect to in commuting from that surrounding commuter shed, as well as potential live work employment that would be primarily generated on existing and newly designated employment lands, as well as in designated commercial and other non-employment areas. And then option four and five generate a tax assessment split pretty close to that 70-30 split as well. So as part of this analysis, we also conducted a high-level growth evaluation. This is a high-level evaluation. We will be conducting a more detailed growth evaluation of the preferred growth option once this phase of the study is done and we move into a municipal comprehensive review of the preferred growth option. At that point, we'll have a much better handle on where the growth will be allocated and geographically positioned, so we'll be able to look at more geographic-specific impacts with respect to things like transportation, water sewer servicing, impacts on agriculture, environment, et cetera. As part of this evaluation, we looked at five key criteria. One was growth assimilation. So we looked at how is the growth performing with respect to the rate of growth in each option relative to how we've been growing historically in terms of both the rate and the growth rate and the amount of housing growth. Because option one basically is trying to assimilate the historical patterns, it ranks very high under this option. Option two also ranked relatively well. It's got obviously a higher amount of employment growth, so it's we ranked medium. Option three and four are much stronger in terms of required housing development and overall population employment growth rates, so they ranked low in this category. And then option five, because it's looking at a lower growth rate than option four, ranked medium. Fiscal sustainability was essentially based on that residential, non-residential tax split. We haven't done a detailed fiscal impact analysis as part of this study yet. Again, that would be something that we'd expect to come out of the detailed municipal comprehensive review in the next phase of work. So really right now we looked at how close to become that 70-30 split in terms of residential, non-residential tax ratio. Because option one doesn't get us there, it ranked medium. It's still moving in the right direction. It's a more healthy split, but not achieving the target. Option three exceeds the target, so it also ranks high. And option four and five are very close, so we ranked it high. Population employment balance is really getting back to this issue of employment activity rates, so how balanced are we between people and jobs? So with 50% being the target in the official plan, option one ranked lower relatively because it's coming in at 45%. The other options came in at 50% or higher, so they all ranked favorably or high in this category. Community policy was based on our ability to achieve complete and compact communities. Option one and two. So when we talk about complete, and let me just back up maybe for a second. When we talk about complete and compact communities, we're talking about ability to grow between residential and non-residential. We're also looking at opportunities to intensify our existing built-up areas, primarily in Bolton, as well as opportunities to grow in designated greenfield areas, as well as future greenfield expansion areas in our rural service centers. And so option one and two provide a lower rate of growth, particularly post 2031. They do provide a relatively healthy amount of growth, but compared to the other scenarios, they are providing less opportunity for intensification and greenfield expansion, so they ranked relatively lower than the other options in this scenario, or in this category. Option five ranked medium simply because it doesn't allow potentially for that ongoing expansion to occur in Bolton like option four would and option five would. So it's ranking a bit lower relative to those two options. And lastly, community character is primarily getting at the issue of greenfield density. So as many of you know, the province requires that for us to grow on designated lands and to grow into expanded areas through future urban expansions, we have to achieve a greenfield density target of 50 people and jobs per hectare on our greenfield lands. So rather cumbersome and tricky statistic, because obviously the problem here is that, and we've talked about this many times, it's linking the densities between residential and non-residential, and we have historically, and we will continue to have a lower density on non-residential lands moving forward, particularly on our employment lands. And given the market in Caledon, we're likely not going to be as dominated by more high-order uses in the office sector. We're going to continue to appeal to more land-extensive type uses in the logistics sector, given being one, transportation, wholesale trade. Some opportunities in other sectors like manufacturing, advanced manufacturing in particular. But all these things typically lead to a lower employment density. And that lower employment density puts more pressure on the residential, obviously, to be higher to achieve that average of 50. And so because options 2, 3, and 4 all project a large amount of employment growth, what they're doing is they're all putting a lot of pressure on the that density target, and they're putting more pressure on the residential to be dense to achieve that balanced 50 people in jobs per hectare ratio. Option 1 and 4, because they have relatively less employment growth, put less pressure on the residential side, so they scored a little better relatively in this category. So as you can see, it's a relatively high-level analysis. Under this approach, though, option 5 did perform, in our opinion, the best, ranking either medium or high in all cases. And so we've used that to help guide our recommendation with respect to our preferred growth scenario. So I'm going to turn it back over to Hai Ching. He's going to provide a few more concluding comments.
Madam Mayor, I'm going to be quick and brief on this, that this is basically putting our growth scenarios into the peer region scenario to compare with what others have proposed. And in the first row, you can see that is what the region is allowed by the growth plan to grow by 2031 and 2041. And the second row is what City of Brampton's council and their approved and preferred growth scenario there. And the third one is the City of Mississauga's preferred growth scenario by 2041 again. And we have compared with the region's total with the town's low scenario and a high scenario in. And because 2031 doesn't make any difference for population, as you can see that the total of the three area municipalities' population by 2031 has exceeded what peer regions allowed by 15,000. And basically, it is because of the different growth scenario proposed by the City of Brampton. And if you look at employment, we are not even meeting the total required by the growth plan for peer region by 2031 and even by 2041. And there is a quite large amount of jobs and a population unallocated. In this case, if the three area municipalities numbers are taken, It means that peer region will do some additional work to make sure that we will hit the total amount of growth as provided by the growth plan. So this is basically to show you the difference as of today. I'd also like to say a few words about the next step, that as per council direction, we are seeking additional input from members of the public who are here tonight or not here tonight. And we encourage everybody to provide us with your thoughts, your comments about what you have heard today from us. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask us for clarification, or we can even sit down to talk to you more about it. And then in most likely in April, we will be taking another report to council with all the input we have received from members of our community to provide a staff recommendation to council as to what would be the most preferred growth for the town in the next 20 or 30 years, or by 2031, 41. And then we will submit that number with council approval to the region of Peel for their analysis and the calculation, and also for their balancing, which means that the number is still subject to change and we will report back if the number has to change. And then once the peer region makes its decision on the final growth numbers by 2031, 2041, the town can kick off a new round of official plan review process that will allow us to distribute the growth to communities in Caledon, for example, in Bolton area, Mayfield West area, and other villages. And that is the planning process. I'd like to be clear with you, Madam Mayor, and the members of council. And finally, I'd like to emphasize that what you are seeing are only assumptions tonight. For example, we are assuming that there would be 8,000 growth in Bolton area. This 8,000 does not mean that there will be definitely such a growth in the Bolton area, because by law, it's up to the municipal comprehensive review process to determine. All we are doing here is only for analysis purpose. We do not, or we cannot, predetermine future growth in a particular area. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, since this is a public information meeting, I would like to ask any members of the public who would like to come forward and make a comment or ask a question of the presenters. You may come forward now, please. And you need to write your name and address on the sheet that's before you, please. Okay. And we need you to state your name to us, too, please.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Council. My name is John Mandarino. In keeping with Madam Mayor's request, I will be representing this humble group of people on the right here from the Laborers International Union of North America. The Laborers International Union of North America, LIUNA, represents 75,000 unionized members in the areas of construction, industrial manufacturing, healthcare, and hospitality, many of whom work and live in the town of Caledon. Along with our employer partners, LIUNA supports responsible development. Development translates into growth. Without growth, our municipalities and communities across the province cannot grow. Construction in particular is the sector that contributes the most to economic growth and municipal prosperity. And our members and their jobs are a big part of the construction sector. When there is employment and work hours, families can afford to spend, and this spending contributes to a healthy local economy. In addition, as a town grows, the requirement for municipal services grow. These services are paid for with the growing tax base of new families and new businesses. Development leads to responsible growth, good jobs, and a strong economy. A stall or stifling of development can have a detrimental effect on municipal prosperity, and our provinces and country rely on healthy municipalities to sustain us. In short, we support the growth strategy of an option as outlined in option 4. Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council.
Okay, thank you very much for complying with my ask. Thank you, I appreciate it. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to come forward, please? Would you state your name and sign in with your address,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, sign in as soon as I get, sorry. Do you want me to sign in before I talk or after I talk?
You can. Maybe what we'll do is after you speak and then someone else can come up while you're signing.
Perfect.
That
is
would be great.
Is the signing thing here?
There should be a sheet there.
Yep, just so we know. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put it there and then
okay.
That way we can keep the flow going.
Keep the
going.
Ball rolling? Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, councillors, consultants, and members of public. For the record, my name is Sherry Brioche. I make Caledon my home, and I take having this opportunity to give my input to you very seriously. In report DP2014-011 on January 21st, 2014, I have noted that there has been an adjustment to the 2031 numbers. We are now receiving an extra 5,000 more in population and 3,000 in more employment. with a grand total now of 113,000 population and 49,000 jobs to the end of 2031. The town of Caledon has now been asked by the province to plan to 2041 horizon. This is a 10-year plan of amendment number 2. Town of Caledon has released 5 growth options, and I want to thank you for sharing them with us. Staff has recommended taking the 113,000 to the 2031 horizon and the employment numbers to 49,000. My concern is that the province is asking the municipalities to take on more numbers than what was originally planned by the town of Caledon. Under your development charge background study in 2009, report CS2009-017, it states that 9,300 household units were to be achieved in 12 years, result is 775 units per year. I have a question. Was this financially sustaining considering the shortfalls every year and the unmet needs? The result, 4 to 7% average annually municipal tax increase borne by the residents of Caledon. Given this past trend from the province, we have just now had an influx of 5,000 people. We went from 108 to 113 for the 2031. We've had an amendment now come down and to 2041. The province is going to do this again. We know how they work. They always surprise us. All I'm going to ask you is to be prepared. Do we need to plan for this kind of unexpected growth increase in every 5 years? The plan was set. People were engaged and agreed to the plan, but now there's change. So with that, I would like to suggest and also include a buffer to that change. The buffer I'm suggesting is having it to a 3,000 to 6,000 buffer of added growth every 5 years. Could be less, could be more. Considering the province just added to the town of Caledon 5,000. Will we be prepared? No surprises. This is the only preparement that the town could add to the growth, and it would be have a great financial contingency plan. We will be prepared, not just for the numbers, but the financial integrity for everyone in the town of Caledon. This shows true leadership of our elected officials and them being responsible for the financial integrity for the town of Caledon. Remember, official plans are living documents. Living documents do change. I'll give you a scenario. Mortgages, we all look at the 20 to 25 years amortization. The time frame roughly is a 5-year span. During that 5-year span, we put money aside for those surprises. Washers, dryers, roof, new driveway, foundational, whatever it may be. Cost may be $1,000 to $4,000, maybe more, maybe less. If we do not put money aside, then the debt is incurred. Plan for the future. Set money aside for the unknown. I too want to see smart planning, but I also want to see parallel financial planning. This split for tax ratio to be higher on the employment is very much supported, and I'm happy to see this. The question is, how do we get there with many variables being added, not only from the province, but also from Mississauga and Brampton? If they do not take their growth numbers in the future, and please keep in mind, Mississauga is running out of land use and Brampton has almost reached their residential numbers, but their employment lands are up for grabs. We're going to be in competition with Brampton on the employment land side, so I just caution you to be very careful. We are also going to need new infrastructure to attract investors to come here for our employment size. This costs money. How is the town of Caledon going to deal with this and the fluctuation of population numbers, infrastructure and services, new and old? Also from the Region of Peel standpoint, if things change, aka numbers added on, possibly every 5 years, we don't know what the province is going to do, whether they are high or whether they are low. What is your vision for for Caledon? Most importantly, the financial sustainability. Let's plan to keep people working in Caledon and living in Caledon. Let's plan to be financially responsible to the benefit of everyone. Let's make Caledon that special place to live. The reality is there is going to be bumps in the road, so we may be prepared. This is just to lighten up the situation. I have a little drawing here that I pulled off. Somebody sent this to me. And sometimes we think our plan is straight, but there is bumps, highs, and valleys in our life. And I like to share that. This is reality. We all have bumps and highs and lows in our life. That's all I'm saying is let's just be prepared. My support for which growth option that you presented and the influx from the province alongside of the DC 2009 background study, I have grave concerns on where we're heading. To add to this, what is happening south of us in Mississauga and Brampton? Your numbers back in 09 was 775 units, but we did not achieve that, and the burden became the residential tax base. Yes, employment is key to the balance of the reason, and I would like option 3 implemented for the 2041 horizon. Please remember, things will change from many variables. It is better to plan for more than not enough. Good financial planning is also a key component to create the purpose of a prosperous community. I would hope that there is a financial consideration for each growth scenario, and when will the public be able to access to this? Thank you for taking the time to hear, and I do have copies for Hai Ching with me. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them why I'm considering this option.
Okay, thank you. Barbara, you'll take, if you've got something, would you give it to the clerk, please?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Kimberly Seipt, a longtime resident of Caledon. I've lived in Bolton for 10 years, and I'm currently raising my family in town. I have 3 lovely girls and a very supportive husband. I'm also an active and engaged citizen who is currently the treasurer of Your Voice for Bolton, a community group focused on the Canadian Tire Distribution Centre. Despite clear opposition, you, representing the Bolton and regional and area councillors, proceeded with applications to approve and send a request to expedite zoning for ministerial zoning order. You went as far as having police officers and hired a $4,200 hired moderator for the public meeting. You knew it was contentious and expected issues, but chose not to speak to your constituents. My goal tonight is to expose the contradiction of the last campaign platform and the current reality of extreme growth in Bolton. Now, having listened to the options as they were explained this evening, it's become very clear to me that these options shouldn't even be presented if we don't have a fiscal impact study or a municipal comprehensive review to back up what those options mean. As councillors, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers of this town to know what is going to be sustainable going forward. As we can all see in Caledon and Bolton, there have been many business closures. And we talk about increasing employment lands to support that tax base of a 30-70 split, but we don't have the population to support the need to increase that. It is a balancing act, I grant you. How do we attract business to come here when we don't have public transit in order to get those businesses to have people come and work in those facilities? It is a very large balancing act. Over the last several years, I've obtained a lot of information about land use planning and growth policies which govern our communities throughout Ontario. I have also learned a lot about how this present council make decisions, about how political games can oftentimes misinform or mislead the public. It is these political games that have caused our group to need to defend the future of our community at the Ontario Municipal Board. Families are contributing to assure our success at the OMB. They will continue to fight for a fair and just process. Everyone wants to believe that they can close the doors to their community and stay the same or not change. Generally speaking, change is not a popular thing to look forward to, even though we are in a society of free enterprise where equal rights are to be afforded to all. Progress breeds fear, and sadly enough, some people will take advantage of people's emotions and fears in order to gain prosperity. Everyone in this room works hard during the day, pays bills to support their children, or to maintain a household that has many expenses, including property taxes that continue to rise each year. What I'm here to share with you, you may not want to hear, but you need to hear it. The reality is, whether we like it or not, the town of Caledon is a growing community, just like Canada is a growing nation. How much should we grow, where we should grow, and how we should grow are all valid questions. The province's growth plan promotes complete communities or live-work neighborhoods. It might be worth noting this plan has won awards for many environmental organizations and planning organizations all over North America. During the last election, Councillors Mezzapalli and Foley formed a group called Our Caledon, Our Choice. They were all about stopping growth in Bolton and chose this message to run for elected office. I'm before you today to tell you that we don't get that option. We cannot say we are not going to grow. So what are we doing now? We are here tonight asking for input from the constituents to understand what council wants to do moving forward, but more so about a campaign platform. Is this reality? The reality is we have an opportunity here. We have an opportunity to change our future by changing this council at the next election. Ask yourself before you vote, would you want a community filled with warehouses or and trucks, or would you want a complete community with housing, parks, good-paying jobs, successful local businesses, reasonable taxes, and a future for our kids in town? If it is the latter, vote for change.
Excuse me, Ms. Seep. We're not here as an election campaign, which is what you're putting forward.
Well, this is the road that we went down last time.
Then you have plenty of opportunity during an election to bring that forward. What we're here for is to speak to
the options.
No, you've gone
cannot
way beyond
be decided
that.
Upon unless you have a fiscal impact study and you have a full comprehensive review. Municipal comprehensive review. That is my statement.
And I'm going
for
to tell you
council.
That, I mean, I can have staff speak to it, but you do not understand how it works through the region appeal, the municipalities. You take the numbers, you decide on the numbers, you come up with what the number will be, and then you go to the next stage. And the next stage includes the fiscal review, includes the municipal comprehensive review. That's how it works.
Watson and Associates said to us this evening that without a municipal comprehensive review and a fiscal impact study, that these options are going to have lots of room for change. I want to make sure it's very clear this evening that these options are not set in stone, because council is going to be voting on which option they're going to head.
That's right.
Okay? We're in an election year, and this is going to be used as a campaign platform. I want to make sure the public fully understands that this is not a be-all and end-all, and that there are more pieces to the puzzle.
Okay, I'm just telling you that tonight is not the night for you to be campaigning.
I'm not campaigning.
Well, you seem to be.
I am not campaigning.
No, I'm not.
And I do not have a hidden agenda, and I want to make sure I'm very clear with everybody here that I do not have a hidden agenda.
That's fine.
Okay.
Are you finished? No?
Almost. The truth is, I love Caledon, and I want a bright future for my family and the community. That is why I am here. I refuse to bury my head in the sand and think this is all about standing up for our town when it's really about getting everyone reelected. Now, this was written in my speech before you asked me not to speak about that. My final question that I leave with council this evening is that which I was not aware that Watson's was the one that came forward with the options. Obviously, they have been engaged in order to look at the numbers and provide options to council. But what is the rush? It took 3 years for the growth debate the last time, and now we're rushing to get this done this year. No decision on this matter should be decided until after the election. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to come forward?
Ian Sinclair, McLaughlin Road, Caledon. I guess slide 15 of the deck, which has the evaluation, I find incomprehensible. And there must be a 30-page discussion and explanation of what the various criteria must mean, but they're not available here. Is it possible to obtain some explanation written down of what all this means and then how the ratings were applied?
Yes, Hai Ching can provide that. Can you speak to that, please?
Well, I assume it's more than just a verbal comment.
No, I understand that.
Well, through you, Madam Mayor, detailed analysis were presented in the staff report to council last month and is still available online.
Okay. Okay.
So is that...
It was in the staff report that came forward last month that was referred to this public meeting as far as having the public meeting. So
there's more information at this meeting than this?
No. You said the staff report had a full... Hi, King. You said a staff report...
Yes, Madam Mayor, the staff report has a detailed analysis.
Yeah, where is the report?
It's online.
Okay. The what is the legislative authority of a growth forecast in the regional official plan? Is that a target that must be met no matter what? Or is it a general guide, an indication?
Okay, can you speak to that, please, Hi Chair?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Yes, we are required to confirm to Schedule 3 of the growth plan by June 17, 2018.
Okay. One of the problems I'm having here is having experienced when I was on council, the OMB hearing for OPA 114 in the town of Caledon, and that's when the OMB adopted our growth areas of the trinodal development areas for urban growth. But at the same time, developers kept showing up at the hearing saying, oh yeah, but we want our subdivision project included and considered at the same time. So there were no real careful planning for the village of Bolton, and the OMB basically approves subdivision after subdivision. And there are major issues in Bolton on connectivity and transit and walking trails and facilities that should have been considered in a careful review. So I'm very concerned about the idea of somehow approving legislative targets that have to be met for population somewhere in the town of Caledon before we do very, very careful planning on how that's all going to be working, particularly intensification. And the presenters mentioned some workshops on intensification that were going on in the last few days, but they were really superficial, sort of images of various housing forms, without any assessment of how the villages or new urban areas would work in highly intensive developments as required by this 50 people jobs per hectare. So that's a problem. How are we actually going to design these communities? There's a whole issue of transit. Our roads are now at overcapacity, and I don't see any discussion of these dates we're supposed to meet these population targets and then relate it to how we're going to move people around. The you know, we've got the province basically commandeering most of the town under greenbelt controls, which limits where we can look for various bits of growth. But in addition, there's this GTA West Corridor environmental assessment process that's underway for many years, and that covers a great proportion of the remaining white belt and the area between Mayfield Road, the southern boundary of Caledon, and the north or south side of the Greenbelt plan. So it's very, very difficult to do any allocations or design of how we want urban development to work in Caledon, you know, and having experienced the Caledon Village Highway 10 environmental assessment process went on for 20 years. And because of that, I think council's going to have to build in to their population acceptance a whole set of thresholds that have to be passed. I point out the attempts at Bolton expansion, where we're looking at little pockets of green field here and there that don't have much connectivity to Bolton at all. We need to think very seriously about how vast urban areas in Caledon will work in the future and how they will function. And that's what I have a concern here when I see very technical reports of various growth options. Is sure, okay, you've got the growth options. How are you going to do it? And how are you going to pay for it? And I keep hearing these comments, oh, well, our taxes are okay somehow in relation to other cities in the GTA. However, we're meeting a whole lot of retirement people coming along on fixed incomes, and you can't just keep whacking the taxes up, particularly with very expensive urban growth. Well, those are some of my comments. I guess I'll have to go off and try and find a report to find out what the table means. Fiscal impact is really, really important. And I'd like to point out that the Municipal Act, Section 224E, for the role of council, says to maintain the financial integrity of the municipality. And I hope that the financial integrity of Caledon isn't simply made on the residential property tax base for growth. Thank you.
Did you sign the sheet, please, with your name and your address?
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of council, and the public. My name is Andrew Walker. I'm an associate planner with Gagnon and Law Urban Planners Limited. I'm here today on behalf of my client, Flat Out Developments, who has lands in the Bolton area within the Brez area. You'll recall a few weeks ago, my colleague Michael Gagnon and I appeared before you speaking about a hybrid option 7, as we called it. So the first few slides in the PowerPoint you'll recognize from our previous slides. Slide number 4, we have a table. There was a question that was asked of us about population and employment from that hybrid. So we've attempted to answer that question, and we have that on a slide there, noting approximately 8,000 population and 3,600 jobs. With respect to the growth forecast options, we've had a chance to review the 5 options and to review and critique those. We do not support growth option 1, as that option would not support future residential growth in Bolton to create the Western Gateway that's proposed by the hybrid option 7 that we spoke about. The option 1 proposes a net population growth of 19,000 between 2031 and 41, of which 12,600 of that is proposed as intensification within the built-up area, leaving only 7,000 persons available for greenfield development across the entire town of Caledon, which includes Bolton, Mayfield West, Caledon East, et cetera, as well as proposed employment of 59,000, an increase of 10,000. With regard to option 2, we also do not support that option for similar reasons as number 1. While the employment numbers have increased somewhat with option 2, the residential growth numbers remain the same. So for the same reasons that we had for 1, we have with number 2. Option 3, we do support this option as it will provide sufficient population growth to be assigned to greenfield development to support the hybrid option 7 and others. Forecast option 3 seeks to link live, work, employment, and commuters to population growth. and it notes that a key driver of future population growth is the potential for employment growth over the next 30 years, both locally and within the surrounding commuter shed. Growth option 3 appropriately, seeks to increase the population to 166,600 and employment to 93,500 townwide by 2041. This coupled with the hybrid option 7 facilitates Caledon capitalizing on Bolton's strategic location close to transportation routes, the future GO station, and current and future employment. Similarly, we also do support option number 4 as it provides an opportunity to support the option 7 as we were looking at through the addition of 8,000 population to Bolton and the 162,000 number town-wide, allowing for the creation of a complete community and a gateway that is technically and economically feasible, optimizing the use of existing and planned infrastructure. Number 5, we do not support, as this option proposes no additional expansion in Bolton beyond the current BREZ exercise. Additional population to support the option 7 and any future development of Bolton to create a complete community would be required. Some general comments, observations that we had on the report. The preference ratings in Table 6 of the report do not have any weightings assigned to the various evaluation criteria. In addition, the report provides a description of what's included in each criteria, but does not have any details as to how a certain growth option is ranked low, medium, or high, or what constitutes low, medium, or high in those various criteria. Staff appear to have contradicted themselves in concluding that growth option 5 would allow the town to plan for development that takes advantage of major provincial infrastructure, including, among others, the GTA West Corridor and GO Rail service to Bolton, while at the same time recommending that there be no additional expansion to Bolton. Excuse me. In contrast, if the town wishes to capitalize and optimize major provincial infrastructure investments, growth options 3 or 4 and not 5 should be advanced as the preferred growth forecast option. Additionally, staff appear to have contradicted themselves by proposing that growth be directed to certain areas of the town, while at the same time suggesting that they are not prejudging where growth might occur in the future. The contradiction rests with the recommendation that growth option 5 be selected as the preferred growth forecast option, when growth option 5 specifically states that no further greenfield growth be allowed in Bolton beyond the current BREZ exercise. Staff appear to be prejudging where growth is to occur by identifying where it will not occur, all in the absence of a full municipal comprehensive review. Lastly, we're recommending that options 3 or 4 be endorsed as the preferred growth forecast option for the town of Caledon in the context of the town of Caledon growth forecast review, as well as part of the regional official plan review. Thank you.
Thank you. Please make sure you sign in. And
we'll do.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, Madam Mayor and Council. My name is Malcolm Campbell, and I live on Kennedy Road in the settlement of Campbell's Cross. A lot of numbers. You know, they're important numbers. It's critical numbers. We have to get it right, but we have to be sure that the numbers are meaningful. And what I wanted, the message I wanted to bring today was just to step back a little bit and look at these numbers in a bit of a historical context. And I'll be very brief. In the plan prior to the one that we're about to revise through this process, we forecast a population number for the town of Caledon for 2011 of 75,000 people. Now, census data for 2011 was released in 2012, I believe, gave Caledon, the town of Caledon's population as 59 and change. Boy, we fell short. And this is a really hard thing for me to understand because in 2006, when we were doing this exercise, we had a population of 57,000. How could we be so wrong? Well, I think it's important that we understand what went wrong and why we went wrong, so that we don't make the same mistake again, because we've got a lot of numbers in front of us. We have to get this right, because our fiscal sustainability is at risk. I don't have the similar numbers for employment for that same period, but I think we can all agree, given that we know what the residential, non-residential tax split is, the numbers, we didn't make the targets either. And I think this is the issue about picking numbers that are real, that are meaningful, and are achievable. Because I see a lot of numbers out there, and I'm lost as to how you're going to get those numbers, because our record isn't been very good in the town of Caledon in getting those kinds of numbers. And I know everyone will say, you know, past performance isn't indicative of future performance, but as a long-suffering Toronto Maple Leaf fan, I know past performance is indicative of future performance. Oh, yeah, but I still think the Phil Kessel trade was great, but anyways, my point is when I look at the staff report that you received in late January, there's some very aggressive employment numbers in there. And our past hasn't been very good. And at the risk of saying Canadian Tire in the room, I mean, I think I'm not raising the quality of the decision. I'm just saying it's evidence of the fact that that's the kind of employment density we can expect. And I think the report, if I'm not mistaken, if I haven't got it in front of me right now, I gave it to someone, also concedes the future is that's the kind of employment density we're going to get. That's the reality. So fiscal sustainability that's looking at huge population and employment gains, well, what are we going to get? Now, the one thing I do know from 2006, 2011, and to the current, is the one thing we've been really good about hitting on target is the conversion of farmlands to development. Now, to me, that's our primary tool. I understand intensification, but our primary tool in achieving fiscal sustainability is our farmlands. Well, we keep using it up. We use most of the land that we were available to have for 2011 and in the current plan, and we're not getting our employment and our population targets. That's a recipe for disaster. It's not fiscal sustainability. And if we continue on this path where we don't meet our employment and population targets, but we use up our leverage or our land to actually gain that capacity for fiscal sustainability in the future, because we haven't the land available anymore to bring the jobs and the population in, we're in real trouble. We are in real trouble. And so, unfortunately, my message is I've looked at the past. I was somewhat disappointed in the January report that it didn't look at the past and learn lessons from the past, because we know what history is about. And let's not repeat these errors. We need to understand the past so we know what set of these numbers are real. From my perspective, any number that achieves a 70-30 split, do it, please. But that's as good as saying, go Team Canada. It's not going to win the game. So we need to do the work. And the message I guess I wanted to bring today is that we need to do this job right. So let's do it right, because it's important that we get it right. So thank you.
Mr. Campbell, can I just clarify for everyone in this room that actually in the early 2000s, our industrial commercial to residential split was 9% industrial commercial to 91%. Yes. We're now at 18%.
Yeah. We're
headed in the right direction.
Yeah, sorry.
If the province hadn't frozen our lands over on the west side for this GTA West Economic Corridor, and if we hadn't been taken to the OMB on the land, the employment lands for the Bolton area along Coleraine, I would say that we would be a lot higher.
I understand what you're saying, and I know we've made some progress.
Okay.
But it's not enough progress, because sustainability isn't half measures. Right. You have to this is an exercise of either you achieve or you don't. There's no, well, it was a good fight. I'm not a believer in moral victories. And gee, we did well, but if we lost the game, we still lost the game. And we've lost the game. And I agree, we have moved a bit closer. But the thing is we haven't moved close enough, and we've been using up our farmlands, our main tool to get to there. And I don't want to get us into a situation. I look at 2041, and well, I'll be long gone by then, and we will have won a cup in Toronto before then. We don't leave the future generations in a situation where they don't have any tools to deal with the debt problem, because right. the infrastructure costs are massive. So, yes, I hear what you're saying. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Dale St. Clair, and I live at 20566 Shaws Creek Road. That is up in the northwest corner of Caledon, very close to Orangeville, which is another part of the world. I live in the Green Belt, where 60% or more of Caledon is Greenbelt, Escarpment, Oak Ridges. We hear a lot lately of studies for these three areas. Also your intensification study. And from what I can gather, they are all connected to the Places to Grow Act. I call it Places to Ghetto Act. The reason for that is because of the intensification, social issues, transit issues, everything else. But what is tying all these studies together is growth. You can't consider Escarpment, Oak Ridges, or the Green Belt without considering growth. And because of the Places to Grow or Ghetto Act, all roads apparently lead to Queen's Park on almost everything. I think, and I'm addressing now our three regional councillors, we need to push back on growth.
You have five.
I find that the GTA area, which has grown by, well, there will be 10 million people by the time this study is implemented, has taken on enough growth. I think we need to disperse the growth to other regions of Ontario, Windsor, Sarnia, Cornwall, Brockville. Why not? They have good transportation, affordable housing, skilled workers, and they are crying for growth. I've been down to Windsor three times, and every time I go there, the signboard has its population change, and it's not going up, it's going down. They are desperate for growth. GTA has had enough growth. And how do you get that growth there? Tax-free zones. New York State has done this, and they've been somewhat successful. The province and the federal government are going to be building a new bridge to the States at Windsor. Why can't they get this growth? And as far as our three regional councillors are concerned, I'm quite sure you will find some pushback in agreement with other regional councillors in Peel Region. You just have to talk to them. Also talk to other municipalities in the northern tier. How do they feel with intensification and growth affecting their rural lifestyle? These aspects should be considered. I'm talking from a person who lives in the Greenbelt in one of your remote areas. We cannot give up on the Greenbelt. We hear a bit about the lower GTA losing 20% of its tree cover because of the ice storm and that nasty beetle. Well, Caledon is the lungs, along with the other northern tier municipalities of the GTA. We need to protect and preserve our green belt. Now, I'm also in favor of growth. We have to have growth. There's no doubt about it. But I think that we should have more control. We should be able to tell the province what we feel we need as growth, not to be given the growth module. The province says jump, and the municipalities say how high. And I don't think that's right, because we are the people. We need to be heard. It was heard up in the northern part of Dufferin County with the a quarry that got squashed. The people talked. The people in the northern tier of the GTA also have to talk about growth. So please contact the other councillors, the other municipalities, maybe through the Ontario Federation of Municipalities can be of assistance. Let's get talking. I'd like to end by saying Canada's first citizens have said it best. We are here for only a short time. We must be good stewards of our land and our resources. I'm in favor of option one or two. The others will destroy our character as we know it, or this town that we have come to live in. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please make sure you sign.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, councillors, my name is John Rutter, and I live in Terracotta. I like to call myself, this is my first council meeting, by the way, and I'm not a public speaker, but I call myself a concerned Canadian, and I felt that it was time, as I read about all these meetings and the projections and whatever, to get up off my couch, forget the Olympics for an evening, and at least come and have my day in court. I was hoping this evening to see more information on what effect this population growth is going to have on, as an example, availability of fresh water, sewers, water treatment, health care, hospital accessibility, policing, emergency service, transportation corridors, education, i.e. schools. Now, I might be coming into this late or I might be coming into this early. Maybe there have been studies already done on these issues. But as I said, obviously a population growth of 113,000 people or whatever it may be are going to have a huge impact, or all these issues are going to have to be addressed to accommodate that kind of a population growth. The other question I have is, has there been a study, I'm assuming there has been, on this population growth again of 113,000 people? Where are these so-called people coming from? Are you assuming that a lot of us baby boomers are going to be dead by then and just be replaced? Or what effect this influx of this type of population growth, what effect is it going to have on our current cultural balance? And believe it or not, these are one of the things we're not supposed to talk about, but obviously religion is a huge issue. I certainly appreciate living in Caledon. I love the reputation that we have at the moment of being the safest and the greenest township. I'm not sure if it's in Ontario or where it is, but anyway, wherever it may be. And I would certainly like to hope that that reputation and slogan can continue despite this amount of population growth that we are going to be experiencing. And I certainly would like to agree with and express my grave concern over one of the comments of a previous speaker about how rapidly and how easily we seem to be just arbitrarily selling, developing, paving over our irreplaceable farmland. I know it's not in the town of Caledon, but I use Georgetown as an example. They have just taken 1,000 acres on 8th Line to accommodate a community of 17,000 people. That kind of land is just, I call Caledon, and I said this at the intensification meeting on Tuesday, I think it was, in Inglewood. I call Caledon a Garden of Eden. We all know what happened in the Garden of Eden, and I think our downfall in Caledon is going to be greed. I do also concur with one of the previous speakers that I would like to see more representation of our council here to the provincial government and basically say we might not be able to accommodate 100,000, 113,000 people. Let's negotiate. Other townships have done it, and I gather from what I hear have been reasonably successful at it. Anyway, that's basically all I wanted to say, and if there are surveys or studies on these issues that I've mentioned, I would certainly appreciate knowing where they are, or if I can access them, or if they will be coming sometime in the future.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Make sure you sign in with your address, and then you will get the information. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Good evening, Your Worship, members of council, Regional Chair Kolb, staff, and fellow citizens of Caledon and Peel. And my name is Glenn Schnarr. I'm with the professional planning firm of Glenn Schnarr and Associates. As council knows, but maybe many residents don't, we are the planners and project managers for Mayfield West Phase 2. Mayfield West Phase 2 is included in the current 2031 population in Phase 1 of Phase 2. The second stage of Phase 2 requires additional population in the neighborhood of 7,000, and it would appear that any of the alternatives that staff have put forward provide for that allocation of population. We're also the representatives of BREZ Option 3, which is included in the 2031 population, and we're obviously pleased about that as well. Tonight, we're here on behalf of the Aloha Village Landowner Group. With me tonight is Brian Sutherland from our office, and as I look around, many residents, taxpayers, and landowners of the Aloha area. You will recall, Council, and for the citizens that are not aware, the area that we refer to as Aloha is bounded by Mayfield Road, Old School Road, Chingacuzzi Road, and Mississauga Road, and represents approximately 2,000 acres. I was here before you in August 2013 to describe and present the proposed Aloha Village community. I was also here in January this year on the date that the town council deferred the staff report that has been previously referenced, and I was here to request a sufficient allocation of population and jobs from Peel Region to accommodate Alloa Village. At that August meeting, I described our vision and commitments for Alloa Village. I wanted the community to understand, as well as council, what those commitments and vision is and are. They include creating a complete, innovative, and intelligent community unlike any other community in Caledon or Peel Region. We made a commitment to dedicating lands for a new Caledon hospital, for a new university college satellite campus, and a cultural arts center. We made a commitment to include a major seniors and retirement lifestyle and healthcare community, a high-tech research and business park, and an intelligent community with high-speed fiber optic cable to every home and free ubiquitous Wi-Fi throughout the community. We made a commitment to provide for a complete community that provides economic benefit to the town and avoids a tax burden to existing town residents. And I agree with all previous speakers that said and have mentioned that financial impact is a very critical component of planning. And having been a professional planner for the last almost 40 years, I couldn't agree more. And I can indicate to those people who aren't as aware that the town's process, and I use Mayfield West Phase 2 as an example, requires a very thorough fiscal impact assessment, which is undertaken by the town, in this instance by Watson Associates for the town. And before there is any application to the region to expand an urban boundary, there needs to be a determination and acceptance by the town that there will not be a negative fiscal impact upon the existing community, or in other words, that this development does not increase taxes. We have the same commitment, the town has the same policies, the region has the same policies. It's just a question of where in the process that happens. It's almost impossible to do a fiscal impact assessment, or is impossible, until you understand what the structure of the community is and what the components of the community is. You can't do a fiscal impact study on general urban expansion or development. We represent the residents and landowners of that 2,000-acre block. It's a large land area. Those residents are overwhelmingly in support of the new Alloa Village community. A lot of people in Caledon, and a lot of professional people, and a lot of people in every municipality in Peel and throughout the province of Ontario aren't the best friends or supporters of the growth plan. They find it, as we do, oftentimes too rigid and too prescriptive. We're told what our communities are going to look like by prescribed densities. It's difficult, but it's the new regime. It's a provincial statute. It's not up for the municipalities to debate. In the context of the province of Ontario, and in the context of the entire growth plan area, I can suggest to the town that you're incredibly fortunate by having all the provincial plans that you have here. You have the growth plan, but you have the Greenbelt plan, which includes Niagara Escarpment lands and Oak Ridges lands and Greenbelt lands. In fact, there's 70,000 acres in the, 70,000 hectares in the entire town of Caledon. 56,000 hectares are included in the Greenbelt plan. That's 80% of the town. The gentleman before said over 60. Well, in fact, it's 80% of the town of Caledon has been protected by the province. No matter what happens with the growth plan, 80% of this town, the heart of the town of Caledon, will stay green and will remain protected. In my opinion, in my professional opinion, the Greenbelt plan has done more to protect the character of the town of Caledon and keep it green than the growth plan could ever do to change it. And that's because the Greenbelt plan has only excluded what has become to be known as the White Belt plans in the southern end of the town of Caledon, which abut the urban area of Brampton. Growth brings impacts, there's no doubt about it. Caledon's worried about impacts. Citizens in Caledon are worried about impacts, as they should be. Caledon's a member municipality appeal, along with the City of Brampton and the City of Mississauga. The City of Brampton, in achieving these growth plan targets for Amendment 2, has indicated that they might accept up to 175,000 people. If you want to talk about impacts, think about that. City of Mississauga said that they, even though they are heavily intensified already, may be able to accept up to 75,000 people. This is intensification. All of these people virtually will be moving into apartment buildings. There'll be apartment buildings going up next to single family homes. Imagine what it'll be like getting on the roads in those communities. Imagine what it'll be like getting on the schools in those communities, in the hospitals, in the shopping centers. Those communities have impacts too. They're members of Peel Region like you are. Everybody's concerned about impacts, but at some point in time, the growth plan numbers are going to have to be divided up. And I believe it's incumbent upon Caledon to also realize the impacts in other municipalities when you're considering the impacts in yours. We think that there's more than impacts to growth. We think that if growth is managed well, that there's a benefit, and there's a major benefit to the community. In the case of the village, the proposed Aloha Village community, existing town residents would benefit from a new hospital, a new cultural center, a new university campus, new jobs for the younger population, and a place for Caledon and Peel seniors to retire and live their later years in good health and dignity. These are real benefits. Growth does not necessarily have to be evil, it doesn't have to be bad, and it doesn't have to be costly. It needs to be planned properly, and it needs to be planned with input from the people of the town of Caledon and directed by the town of Caledon, and not mandated, as the previous gentleman said, by the Ontario Municipal Board back in the old days when the board made a lot of decisions about how development was going to happen in Caledon. And you might not like that development today. You certainly didn't control it. And I'd suggest as a professional planner with some experience in this, that the best route for the town of Caledon isn't to resist the growth, because you're not going to win the war on resistance, in my opinion, citizens. That horse has left the barn. That ship has sailed. The province has mandated. Caledon is going to have growth. Caledon should now, in my professional opinion, take the time, take the energy, take the patience, involve the public in how that growth is going to occur and how it's going to be managed, and not assume that a trip down to Queen's Park is going to convince them that the growth engine of the entire country of Canada, the growth engine of the entire province of Ontario, the GTA, is going to move somewhere, is going to move to Windsor or anywhere else. The province is doing everything they can to concentrate growth in other areas, but people want to be here. There's an airport, there's highways, there's jobs, there's infrastructure. They'll come here, and the province is providing for that. We should plan for it. Those are my comments. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you.
And I will sign in.
And now, Mr. Schnarb, I was going to thank you for explaining the planning regime that we're under. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you. I know a lot of people think that it's up to you to decide whether you're going to grow or not.
Well, I figure you must have paid a lot of people here this evening. Anyway, next.
I'm Tom Dalston, and I'm one of the landowners in the Aloha group. And I know, Madam Mayor, you said you didn't want more than one person to represent a group, but I had worked my way to the front of an orderly line, and Mr. Schnarr stepped in front of me. So,
well, if you could then make it succinct, so you're not repeating
everything
he said.
It will be brief.
Said.
It won't be repetitive at all.
Okay. Thank you.
The comments I have are in a general nature to this report. In my opinion, most of these options don't reflect reality. It seems we've based them all on a 70-30 split that council has spoke about for a number of years. And it seems like a shot in the dark without any real indication to what the impact on residents of these growth, different growth scenarios would be from a financial perspective, the tax increases, perhaps better services. These are all important factors. Yet we seem tied into this 70-30 split. And to put it into perspective, that's a colossal increase in employment lands. And you know, the reference to hockey came around earlier. If I was managing the Leafs, I'd like the first 10 draft picks. And with employment lands, while Brampton is building out on its residential lands, there's still an awful lot of employment lands left in Brampton. And for us to believe we can achieve or attain 30% of our tax assessment in employment lands by 2041 with the amount of employment lands that are left in Brampton, I think it's naive at best. Particularly, there was a growth management meeting at the region, I believe back in October, where one of the primary concerns in the growth management area was the declining employment in the region. And I think those numbers are for employment are with the competition and the intensification of brownfields, I think they're going to be extremely hard to meet. It makes me feel when I read through this, we don't want people, we want warehouses. That's the impression I get when I read this. I remember back 3-4 years ago in budget discussions, corporate services came forward and said our assessment growth was below what it needed to be. We weren't meeting our targets for assessment growth. And like any municipality, we need to increase assessment in order to maintain our services. So these are a couple of things I'd like council to give some thought to. Thanks very much.
Please, yes, make sure you sign in, please. Is there anyone else who would like to come forward?
Okay. I'm not a developer.
Can you tell us your
definitely
name?
Definitely not a politician, and my name is Owen Goltz, and I'm a resident of Inglewood. I used to have a business in Caledon. I'm now a second career farmer. I guess what I see is with these numbers really upsets me, because this is not what I kind of envisioned Caledon to become, and it really upsets me when I hear somebody, you know, wants to divide up 2,000 acres to build a hospital and stuff on dreams. And I'm not saying dreams can't come true, and I'm not saying I'm against growth, but I do believe that it has to be truly thought out well and organized. And I think some of the problem that we have, we hear about increases in taxes and all this other stuff, but I really feel that if we are building houses and development to pay for our services that of the current residents of Caledon, then I think we really need to look at how our current situation can be more efficient in paying for it in the way of taxes. And I guess I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I guess I'm just thinking that a lot of times we seem to have I have donkeys, so we have the carrot in front of the donkey. And I don't know who's driving the donkey, and I really don't know who is the carrot. But I think for me, and for my say, is that any development that has to be done has to be done in a very strong and a very economical way. And I would, even though we have 80%, you know, I think this gentleman said 80% is green land, and I like to see it, but I think we all can say that fences and boundaries can be moved, and I'm really concerned that that the green belt, not only today or maybe in 10 or 15 years, can change very quickly from the province. Personally, myself, what really upsets me the most is that when somebody else, including the town of council, but even the province of Ontario, comes to our community and tells me or us how we should divide up or grow. And to me, I think that is wrong. And I think that as a people, as a collective people, we have a voice, and that voice should be heard. And that's all I want to say is thank you.
Okay. We make sure you sign in, please.
And I'm for option six.
My name is Diane Delaney, and I live at 3 McKinley Crescent. And I'm new not only to the community, but to the province. So I'm hearing things about provincial laws that impact the decisions that we make. So this I have to get up to speed with and get to understand better. The last gentleman said he was for option six. Well, I was thinking I'm actually for option zero because in my view, I don't think we should.
There is no option six, so I'm assuming that's zero.
Yes. Right, well, as is mine. Any, however, because I would like to see no growth in Caledon at all. Because we know that the optimal population on the planet is 500 million people, and we're currently at 7 billion. So why on earth are we growing the population in Caledon? It's puzzling, if not to say ludicrous. We have to think about how we create communities that where people have equal opportunity. They can engage with the environment. They can express themselves creatively with the environment. And by growing the population, that is not taking us in that direction. And I would like to say that I have a problem with the whole notion of economic growth to begin with. And this is an idea I'm not sure if many people have thought about that because we were so used to thinking in those terms. But I think the time has come because of the future that lies ahead of us that we really examine that option. And I know, of course, when you talk about this, like not having any population growth, of course there's going to be economic implications for the community. And I look at all the numbers and the hard work that the two gentlemen here have put into their presentation, and enormous amount of hours, I'm sure, but I would like to imagine what might have been produced if that same amount of time had been putting into how do we create a community that doesn't depend on growth? What does that look like? How can we do it? Because we have to do that. We must do that. Or there's no future for us, either locally or globally. And there is an answer. We can do it. We've been told we can't do it, but we can. And I understand that there's provincial laws that stand in our way against this, but I think we have to have these conversations and engage with the people that make those very laws that restrict us. I think that Caledon has an opportunity to be a model for a new way of doing things, you know, if we allowed ourselves to think creatively and to look at the big picture and where we're going globally and how maybe this small community, this small Canadian municipality could maybe create something different somehow that people would look to and would be a model for the future for other Canadian communities and if not globally. And thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Will you make sure you sign in, please? Are there any other? Okay.
Hi, Madam Mayor, councillors. My name's Jonathan Vrozos. I've been living in Caledon now for 10 years. I'm at Boston Mills Road in Huron, Ontario. And I felt compelled, especially after the previous lady spoke. I'm for pro-development,
We live very close to the city of Toronto, and to make statements for no growth and to talk about living with the trees and the birds, I mean, that is the stuff where people get the name of tree huggers. We are not tree huggers in the town of Caledon. And if you want to make money and raise money, as I understand we do, then charge the developers that are going to come there. Welcome the developers, work with the developers, and charge them. You'd be surprised. They will pay. Because people want to live in Caledon, work in Caledon, and they will come. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. You know, if we're going to continue this, it won't continue. I would say that the best thing you can do is to let people come up and give their opinion, and they'll sign in, and you can go out there when they're finished, and you can pat them on the back and clap for them out there if you want, but I want this to keep moving, please. Is there anyone else who would like to come forward? Okay. Oh, we've got someone else.
I will say my name is Pete Patterson. I live on Mountain View Road. I've been living here since 90 and been coming up here since 54. And to comment at the beginning of the meeting, numbers baffle brains. It kind of got my head spinning around. And also seeing the number 2041 up there, I'll be 100 then. So sort of stretching into the future. What I have heard from a number of people is that yes, growth is coming, it's obvious it's going to come. We can't stop it. The only thing is if we had a world plague, maybe that would change everything and bring it all under control, but we're not going to, hopefully not going to get that. But the clue to the growth is planning, unbelievably proper planning. And I hear the fellow from Aloha talking about how this one's going to be perfect this time, because I want to just tell a story about Mayfield West East. Aloha is Mayfield West West. It's on the west side of Highway 10. Mayfield East, Mayfield West East is on the east side of Highway 10. I was part of the original design charrettes for that 10 years ago, I think it was approximately. The land that was going to be used was 200 acres. And we're going to be 5,000 people. It was going to be a fairly high density. It was going to be a planned community with a town center, more high rise around it. Everybody could walk to the town center. There was going to be a farm market. There was going to be a bridge to Valleywood where there were 8,000 people. Valleywood has a fire department. It has a library. Guess what? No bridge. Nothing. No will to build this bridge to pull two communities together. That whole community of Mayfield West now has sprawled onto 1,700 acres. I know some of it's going to be work lands, but Strawberry Fields, lovely name. I think it's called Valleywood. No,
it's the village of Southfields.
Southfields.
And there's only 3,000 people in Valleywood, not seven.
Okay. All right. I stand corrected. Okay. But what's happened is I drove through Mayfield West the other day, and I'm looking at it. There's nothing east of west of Kennedy Road where the town center was supposed to be. And what we have is Brampton North in the south end of Caledon. During the design charrette, it was kind of interesting because there were a lot of people there, and there was one fellow, and I said, what do you do? And he said, I'm a planner for Brampton. I work on the planning department. And I looked at him, I said, you sure, and I won't use the word, but it started with an F, it up. And he looked at me, he said, yes, we did. And what I feel is happening to the south end of Caledon is that we're doing exactly the same thing. Mayfield West is an abomination. It's just urban sprawl yet again, yet again, yet again. And I would love to talk to the planner, 40 years experience, that's working on Aloha, because the other part of the Aloha was that there's a railway line there. And my suggestion was before you build a single house, you build a railway station so the ghost train can stop there. That's before you build a single house, you build that train station. I got married in Sweden in 1966, and I got on a subway in downtown Stockholm, And the way they'd build their communities, they put the subway and the LRT in before anything was ever built. So you drove through, you went through farmlands, and there were houses. You went through open farmlands, and there were more houses, and it was all built out, properly planned. Planning. It's so, so important. Ian Sinclair mentioned the same thing. The other fellow sitting beside me mentioned the same thing. It's got to be planning. And maybe you should have a citizens planning group to work with the town planners, because I think you need the help. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'd just like you to know, Mr. Patterson, that it might be a good idea if you came in and had a little meeting with either your the counselors of that area or staff to find out exactly what the trigger points are for the different scenarios that you were talking about that you brought forward in the charrette, because they are coming.
Okay.
And
no,
there's after 1,000 homes, there's this. After 2,000 homes, it goes to this, and yeah, it will all be there.
Well, I'd be pleased to do that. I'd be pleased to be part of any of the
community. You can phone my office.
Community.
And you can set it up.
Everybody knows me anyway, so
I know.
Yes, thank you.
I know. Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to come forward?
I'll sign afterwards.
Okay, sure.
Madam Chairman, councillors,
you'll have to speak right into the mic.
Caledon residents. I would just like to say that...
Can you tell us your name, please?
Oh, Marlene McClure. I'm a resident of Caledon.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say that, yes, it would be great to live in a community where we don't have to have expansion and more urban development. However, I think we've heard many times tonight that it's already been decided we have to. So let's plan a community that incorporates, I mean, we've already heard that 80% of Caledon is greenbelt. Let's plan a community where we do have facilities within our community for our kids, with a university that they can go to, that they don't have to go out of the community. But let's also support the agriculture in the area so that we incorporate it into the new plan. Not just build housing, but also have a community where the urban expansion can have facilities where the kids are involved, where the people are involved. There's a settlement in just outside of Chicago called Prairie Crossing, where they have done that. Why can't we do something and be a successful community, and build that within the plans that the developers have? So then we can do everything within our own community. We can have business. Over on the west side of Caledon, we have a GO station. There's lands immediately north of the GO station. People can commute if they need to. The setting seems ideal. So why not plan everything into it and build a really successful community?
Thank you. Will you please sign in? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to come forward? If not, I will go to council. Would you like to come up and state your name, since we're going through the whole process, please?
I just need a point of clarification, if you don't mind, please. Sherry Baroshi. What I'm hearing from council is, and the public, and even now I'm hearing from planners, and this is why I said what I said earlier in my presentation about fiscal impact. Is it possible to maybe have some type of vision when you come back to council with a report before we make this decision, and some type of fiscal impact to tell us, okay, because that will help determine the number thing as well. It won't just, you just don't work off numbers. You got to work off the whole thing. I do in my personal finances, and I would hope that you as council and staff and the members of public would also listen to what people said. also the point of clarification about going to the OMB. Caledon does not have a municipal comprehensive review. That's what got you into the OMB.
We do. It was
determined that we do.
No, you do not. Well, that's your opinion, and that's fine. Okay. Is there anyone else before I go to council? Okay. Okay, Councillor Whitehead, and remember, council, you aren't. There is no position. It's just questions of clarification.
My question, the first question is to Hai Ching. when we negotiated OPA 226 with the province, they said to us at that time that the growth in Caledon East would not be infilling. That it had to be treated as greenfield, even though we have an urban boundary larger than the current population. The province decided arbitrarily and told us that the development areas identified inside Caledon East had to be greenfield-like development. And so I have two questions. First of all, is that still the case? And then secondly, have you calculated any numbers for Caledon East for infilling, given that there really isn't any land left to infill?
Through you, Madam Mayor. The province of Ontario, together with the release of the growth plan, also released a map called the 2006 built-up area. And it's part of the provincial regulation that any development happening within this area is considered under the growth plan as intensification. And any development, new development happening outside this area is considered greenfield. I hope this answers your question.
No, it doesn't, because they made it very clear to us that in Caledon East only, that the urban boundary that we had, which is larger than the area that's developed, that those new subdivisions had to be treated as greenfield development at 50 people per hectare. Is that still the case?
It is still the case, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So therefore, you really haven't, in your calculation of infilling, you haven't included very many numbers for Caledon East then. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
There were some numbers.
My second question, and thank you very much for that. My second question again is to you, Hai Ching. Just for clarification, as we know, the real exercise that's going on here for which this public meeting is being held is a negotiation that's taking place in the region of Peel about population distribution of the province's number that was given to us of roughly 2 million. So, and you showed on your chart that Mississauga and Brampton, as we know, have already handed in their numbers, and we wouldn't do that until we had this public meeting. So your chart showed that if you took Caledon's low number and Mississauga and Brampton's number, that the total was 60,000 people, I think, short of the province's target. So what's the exercise from this point on in Peel to resolve that 60,000 person difference?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the discussion is still ongoing, and as of today, at this moment, there is no solution.
Okay. So, therefore, there's going to be another process. If we, for instance, whatever scenario was on the board tonight doesn't resolve the 60,000 number. It only reduces it somewhat. So there's going to be another piece to this coming yet.
Well, through you, Madam Mayor, this what we are seeing at the beginning, that the numbers provided to Peel Region by the City of Brampton, by the City of Mississauga, and also by the Town of Caledon are subject to change because the region has its regional requirements under the growth plan to meet. For example, greenfield density is a region-wide calculation. For example, the minimum 40% of intensification is, again, a region-wide calculation. None of the lower tier or area municipality can dictate that calculation.
Okay, my second last question, and these are brief questions. In order to determine numbers, because the province has this planning by numbers game that really is a problem for council, and I think everybody in this room, but in their planning by numbers scenario, which you've shown the numbers, the employment numbers to get us up to 30% assessment for that area, the employment area, is your report ultimately at the end going to, because we're determining that we need 30%, is it going to be stating the number of acres extra we need? Because we have already determined that the 50 jobs per hectare expectation really won't work in Peel or Caledon. So are we going to end up in this round of discussions saying to the province to have 30% employment assessment is going to require this many acres?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the answer is no. For this round of exercise, we cannot determine the amount of acreages for land. The reason is because it involves a density calculation and it's a region-wide calculation, and we cannot do that at the town level.
Okay, so there'll be another exercise or another point in time that we will deal with that issue.
And again, through you, Madam Mayor, that we are saying in the planning process, it is up to Peel Region at the end to make its decision on the final allocation or distribution of growth to the three area municipalities. Once that number is approved by Regional Council, we will be initiating a process which is called a municipal comprehensive review process to assess and to allocate growth to different communities. When Peel Region provide us with that number, it will come with the density target as well as the total acreage or area we're allowed to go for in the greenfield.
Okay. My final question, Madam Chairman, is, and it's a question, but I guess it's a request as well. When you get to the end of this scenario, are you going to provide another chart that actually talks about the growth impact by community? The problem with something like this on the wall, when you do overall numbers for the whole town of Caledon with 80% of it not developable, it may give a wrong impression. So I'm asking if in addition to the overall number, if there will be a breakdown to be able to, for instance, tell the people in Bolton specifically what their percentage of growth would be in this 2041 scenario, whatever we select.
Again, through you, Madam Mayor, that kind of exercise is typical as part of the municipal comprehensive review process. And we are not there yet, Madam Mayor.
Well, I don't think, with respect, I don't think we should wait until that process to make it clear to the people in the communities that are impacted by growth. Most of the people are not impacted by growth. I think it's important that they understand early rather than later the general numbers. So I just wanted to offer that as a suggestion. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and there were some good comments made tonight that as a councillor who represents a very rural area will have to pay particular attention to. But in support of my residents, I guess the one disappointment that I have with respect to the material that's been presented to us is the lack of attention to the villages and the hamlets. Only on one page do I see what villages receive. We have a number of people who live in our villages and our hamlets and are very concerned about what impact the numbers that we're talking about tonight will have on them. When you add on to that the intensification discussions that took place recently, yesterday, there is angst. And I think this report, if when it comes back, should try to address some of the issues that the people in the villages are concerned about. We do have good opportunities in our villages, and it seems to me that we have some people now that we could use to fulfill some of those potentials. I use Alton as an example. It's a jewel.
I use Callan Village, where if we do some rezoning, we can get some more potential for economic development. We've got lots of things that we can do. So I don't think we should put all our eggs in the one basket of what we're going to do in the high intensification areas, which I understand we have to do. So I guess what I'm asking you is, have you paid any attention to exactly what has to happen in these villages, particularly with the infill? And perhaps, I know in one case we can expand the boundary because it's grandfathered, in those situations where we can maybe pick up some of those numbers and, in fact, enhance what's happening in our villages, because they are going to be impacted. Most of our villages and hamlets are less than an hour from the city of Toronto. There will be 10 million people. They're going to come to play, and I hope they're going to come to stay. And we need to do some work with regard to that. So that's my focus on this, along with what the other people have talked about in terms of where are we going with such huge number. So can you give some thought to that as we come back with our report?
Okay.
Thank you.
Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I had a question about intensification, Haiqing. With the density numbers getting higher and higher, like at 68.5 per hectare now we're looking at in the Brez study, would it not be reasonable to assume that that number, like right now you're looking at 7,700 in Bolton, would go down over time? So as your densities are already getting higher, is there still room for that kind of intensification?
Through you, Madam Mayor, as you can see in the slides, intensification study is still ongoing, and we are in a process of seeking public input as to what kind of community in the developed areas, including, as Councillor Bedford was referring to, in the villages, what kind of communities we want it to be in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, and even in a longer period of time. In the case of Bolton, or even in the villages, of course, we do not want to see these high-rise like the Monroe building near Square One to be built in Bolton area, right? Mm-hmm. But technically, in theory, it's possible, but we don't really want to see that happen because it's inappropriate, right? And if we were to do that, the intensification number would go way up, but that's not really the kind of character of our community we want to plan for. It's bad planning. We don't like it. However, what kind of growth in terms of intensification, as one of the delegates said earlier, do the people living in these villages, Bolton areas and villages, wanted to see multi-story apartments next to your backyard or next to your home? If you do, how high it should be? These kind of questions we want to hear from our residents. We wanted to know what are their preferences. Before we can make our recommendation to council. And we are in the middle of this process, and we will report back on our findings. And by the way, while I'm responding to this question, there is a survey online at the town's website. And if I guess many of us have access to the internet, if you could log on there and give your comments, I would really encourage all members of our community here tonight to log on to the website and give your comments on intensification. We wanted to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Haiqing. I was quite fascinated by the turnout. I just wondered if it would be okay to ask how many folks in the audience are with the Laborers International Union.
Okay. And I think a lot of them left.
And a lot of them left. And how about the Aloha group?
The Aloha group.
I'm just trying to get a feel for where the interest was tonight, to get a feel for who came out and for what reason.
Excuse me.
That's good. No, I wanted to know. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. One question I got from someone in an email, because they had to leave. But they wanted to know if you could explain two questions. One was why Caledon East is mentioned for employment growth when there is no employment growth for Caledon East.
in other areas. Do you want to explain that a little bit? You have here on your charts Caledon East and other areas for employment growth on your charts. Slide 13. We're meaning roughly like of the Tullamore Sand Hills, correct? Mm-hmm. I know, just, but it's a yes. question it's I want to...
I see where it is. Through you, Madam Mayor. Option 4 and option 5 are basically assumed for Mayfield West to catch up with the population of Bolton. And all the other areas are put together in one column. So our focus is to first figure out the total population of Bolton as assumed to be by 2041. And then we apply the total population to Mayfield West so that it can catch up with the same size by then to figure out how much would be needed in Mayfield West Phase 2 area. And we only assumed the total employment activity rate for these two areas by 50.
But what he's asking about is the mm-hmm. is the part for Caledon East and all other areas, and it shows employment.
It mentions Caledon East as employment, that's concerning the person.
Right.
They're really shocked on it. That's the challenge.
It's not really. It's basically relating to the disclaimer we put at the end. This is not the case because we have some other areas like Tullamore that is predominantly employment, right? So I would invite all people who have this concern not to worry about it because we have a municipal comprehensive review process coming up that will eventually determine how many jobs each community will be receiving once the numbers are finalized by peer region. And this is what is coming. And this is why we put the disclaimer on these slides. Thank you.
Okay. Mrs. Hall.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think to clarify, because it is a table, and the table is trying to look at the community as a whole.
I get it.
What the table did was it looked at the other larger communities, Caledon East being one, and then the other areas, which were Sand Hill, Tullamore, and Victoria, grouped it all into one lump sum. Caledon East does not have a lot of employment plan for it in the secondary plan.
So I'm just trying to clarify because it's
right.
a question they
no,
wanted
it's a good
to
point.
Ask.
Thank you.
And on that same thing, I was just wondering because I had a couple of questions come at ask me out on the thing. Can you please explain, like the annual growth rate you have identified here on your charts, like slide, I have it here in slide 14 on my work deck, but I guess you have it on one of your boards out there, I do believe. Well, actually, could you maybe explain what our annual growth rate has been in about the last four or five, you know, the last couple of years, so people know where we're sitting.
Sure. Through you, Madam Chair. So the board out there shows historical growth rates. And over the long term, the growth rate's been around 2.6% annually. I don't have the exact figures from 2006 to 11, but the growth rate has dropped quite considerably in the last 5 years. It's roughly around, I think, 0.8%, around under the 1% range. So it has been a lot slower in the last 5 years. I think one of the key reasons why it slowed down is we had a major economic downturn in 2008 and 2009, and we saw growth drop just about everywhere across the province. It's starting to slowly rebound, and we expect it will continue to do so, but it has been pretty modest. But I think it's important to try to keep in mind those long-term trends, because historically we've had peaks and valleys, we've had economic downturns, we've had economic boom periods, and over that 20-year period, we're averaging around 2.6%, which is, I think, important to take that long-term view, not get too fixated on just a one, you know, five-year increment.
With what you even have here across the scenarios from about 1.57 to 3.98, or like even at the 5% for the annual growth rate from 2031 to 2041, I guess that's including the employment, that's still a pretty low number compared to a lot of areas that are building, correct?
Well, I would say that I explained, you know, the provincial average has been around 1% historically and continues to be around 1%. I would say that anything above even a 2% range, in my opinion, is pretty steady growth.
Okay.
3% is quite strong, in my opinion. the GTA as a whole, you know, clearly is growing a lot faster than areas outside of the GTA. Things really start to change once you get outside of the GTA. And there's a number of municipalities within the GTA that are really rapidly growing. Some of them, you know, close by, places like Milton, you know, Vaughan, Markham. Most of these areas are growing at rates in the 2-4% range. I don't have all the stats, you know, right at my fingertips, but I would say that, you know, I would consider 3% to be pretty healthy growth, and I would say it's strong.
We were talking about activity rates, you know, 39, 46%, 53%, 50%. Can you just explain a little bit more on activity rate, what you mean by that?
Yeah, it's just a simple calculation. It's just a fancy way of saying it's the ratio between the number of total jobs divided by the total residents. So it's the amount of total local jobs within Caledon. So when we talk about that number, it means it's all the jobs we have in Caledon, which is the people who live and work in Caledon and the people who commute into Caledon. That forms our job base. And then we just take that number and divide it by the total employment to get an employment activity rate. And as I said, the more mature areas, larger urban centers, are in that 50-plus range, Mississauga and Markham at the high end, and some of the other more rural areas in the what we call the countryside areas of the GTA are well below 50%.
No, thank you for that. I think I just wanted that clarified for everybody.
Sure,
so
no
thank
problem.
You.
Okay, Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much for the presentation, and I thank the public for coming out too. I just wrote down my questions in chronological order, so I'm just going to go through the presentation. On slide 4, under option 1, it talks about extrapolating from 2031 to 41 and utilizing historical growth based on 226. And you talk about 800 units per year, and that's consistent with 2011 to 31. Did you go back from 2011 and look at historical growth rates prior to that period? And if so, how did they reflect as far as units per year?
We have done that. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I didn't bring them tonight. We have the details through this study and through the development charges background study. I know from memory that we haven't hit that 800 number per year over the last 10 years. Again, we slowed down quite a bit post-2006. I think because of two things. One, the economic downturn, and I think there's been some issues with available supply and market choice of development that's been offered within the rural service centers primarily, which are our key growth areas. So we did see a bit of a dip around 2006 to 2010, and it's starting to ramp back up again, but I can tell you we haven't hit the 800 in the last 10 years. I'd have to go back and check to see where permit activity's been prior to 2001. I just don't have it at my fingertips right now, but I can be happy to provide that for you if you'd like.
Okay, I think it'd be useful information just to show historical trends. On slide 6, this was option 3, which you talked about utilizing the economic catchment area as a driver. And a question I have is, in the provincial policy, the Places to Grow Act, the PPS, the province talks about having various things in place to service that growth, whether it's employment or whether it's residential. And part of that is their infrastructure, primarily roads. And when I'm looking at the numbers that we have before us, particularly in respect to transportation and roads specifically, the two big provincial road networks that come to mind are the 427 extension to Major Mac, and the GTA West Corridor, the 413 from Milton to the 400. Through these discussions and with the province doing the work that they're doing, do we have any clear timelines as to when these two major pieces of infrastructure will be in place to service the population?
I think I'm going to have Hai Ching answer that. He's probably a bit more equipped to give you the details on that.
Through you, Madam Mayor, the GTA West is part of the plan to support places grow by 2031. So in theory, all the modeling work the province done is based on growth by 2031. And again, in theory, the province should deliver it before 2031, you know, to make all these planned growths to take place. And that is all there. And for the for the 427 extension, extension to Major McKenzie is part of an approved EA already, and the detailed design is finished. And the only issue that is outstanding is investment, is money from the province. So whenever the province funds the investment, actually it can come to Major McKenzie. Any further northerly extension is relating to what we call the GTA West EA, which is ongoing right now. And the province does plan to hook up with the future GTA West, I mean between the 427 and the GTA West. And again, any further extension to north of the GTA West alignment is unknown at this point.
Sure, and I can appreciate that. Yeah. But speaking to the two networks, to the extent that I had stated, we are given assurances by the province that they will be in prior to 2031.
There is no such an assurance through you, Madam Mayor, but there is a rationale presented by provincial growth plan, because this is a required infrastructure to support growth by 2031. So in other words, the province of Ontario has the obligation to deliver this facility before 2031.
Councillor Mezzapelli,
yes.
The 427, I know that Mayor Bevilacqua and the Minister Murray made an announcement that it's in their 5-year.
I understood that they were going to start construction in 2016, I think the Premier said. I was just curious as to when it's ready to be utilized. It can start in 2016, but how many years is it going to take?
Probably 3 years, because that's the 5.
To Major Mac.
Yeah, yes.
I just would like, I think we talked a lot today about good planning, and good planning talks very strongly about having the infrastructure there to support it. It would be very comforting from council's perspective to know that these integral pieces of infrastructure, amongst others, will be in place to service this population. It'd be nice to have that assurance from the province that it will be in place. I know they're asking the region and the municipalities to put infrastructure in place to support growth. They need to ante up and keep up their end on that as well, because some of that infrastructure is theirs. On slide 14, we talk about the tax split between residential and employment, and certainly Council can appreciate that having a higher employment tax base is of a benefit to the town. It does lessen the burden on residential. And it is good to know that we are moving in that direction. Do you have examples of other GTA communities? And maybe you mentioned it, Jamie, and forgive me, I apologize if I missed it, as to what their tax ratio breakdown is?
To you, Madam Mayor, yes, we do. Just trying to find, I had brought in some material, and I can't see. A key document that we did on behalf of the town of Caledon and the Mayor's Alliance for the Countryside was, you may be aware of the Countryside Economic Analysis Study that was done. It was completed, I think, in 2010 was phase one. It's been a little while now. And then from there went on to a phase two study. There's lots of really good information in that phase one study. I realize it's getting a little bit out of date now, but in that study we looked at comparative tax rates, non-res and res ratios, activity rates, and all those things. So that's where I was pulling a lot of the information tonight in terms of our comparative position. So I've got a few, you know, excerpts from that that document. And as I was saying, we rank relatively low. We're out of the entire GTAH municipalities, so that includes Hamilton. We were we came in third last in terms of our split.
Okay, and the follow-up question to that is, realizing that a lot of our comparators in the GTAH are much larger municipalities, did you go through the exercise of looking at a, and it maybe it's extremely difficult to find, but a community like Caledon, geographically placed like Caledon, and what type of tax split that community would have? I'm trying to find a community like Caledon, as opposed to, you know, comparing to a Mississauga or a Brampton, which is obviously a much different community.
Yeah, it's a fair question. I think it's a tough one because we're trying to not, we're not only are we looking at the Caledon split, we're looking at what's Caledon going to look like in 2031 and 41. So if we're going to do that, we have to say, okay, well, what does Caledon look like in 2041 compared to an area today? And I'd have to put a bit of thought into that. I don't want to just blurt out a, you know, an example and maybe come across that, you know, it's not, you know, the best example. Mm-hmm. So I think we can put some thought into that. You know, it's I just don't have an answer at my fingertips to say what is Caledon going to look like in 2041 compared to somebody today. Clearly, I don't think we're looking to become the next Mississauga or Brampton, but we know that we're going to continue to grow and mature. And I think the important thing to keep in mind with this, the employment growth and the split, is that we're really not assuming any major changes in employment growth from what we've already produced in OPA 226. We're going back to what we initially done, had prepared in OPA 203 by 2031. But it is beyond that 2031 period, I do see some fairly significant changes happening in Caledon on the employment side. And I think that the big driver, and I know there's some uncertainty on timing, is that east-west corridor. And one of the things we looked at was, well, how significant has the 407 corridor been in Vaughan since its creation? And so in the early 90s, we had the 407 come through, and we looked at a kilometer buffer on each side of the 407 in Vaughan. There's 46,000 jobs along that corridor that have been created over the roughly in less than 20 years. So I think, to me, that tells me that there is potential for a lot of job stimulation and you know, the economic impacts of that highway could be quite significant. And if you couple that with the diminishing land supply in Mississauga and in Brampton, I think there's potential for quite a bit of job growth in that post-2031 period. But we're really not assuming anything significant in the way of the change to 31 from what we've already been projecting.
Okay. Okay, and Hai-Ching, I know you responded to Councillor Whitehead's question on this. I just wanted to briefly touch on it again for my benefit. When I look at slide 16, which is the region-wide forecasts, and it breaks everything down, Peel Region and the three municipalities within Peel, the 2031 population shows a 15,000 person surplus in the uptake as compared to what the province allocated to Peel. Does the 15,000 people over, is that actually what happened in the conformity exercises to the places to grow for 2031? Was there actually a surplus uptake of 15,000 that was handed back to the province?
Again, through you, Madam Mayor. The numbers for Brampton and Mississauga, as you can see on the list for 2031, are new numbers they have proposed. And especially for the city of Brampton, I think they're proposing more than 100,000 additional population than originally proposed through the ROPA 24 process. So essentially, the city of Brampton is asking for a lot more growth by 2031, as per their council-endorsed version here, to make Brampton's population by 2031 at 843,000. And it is because of that change makes the total exceeded the total peer regions number by 15,000. It's not just because of the town proposing an additional 5,000 mm-hmm. that makes this change.
Okay, so to be clear, when we originally went through this exercise the first time, our numbers Peel region-wide did not exceed the 1.7 million. It was only after the fact.
Yeah, the Peel region number for ROPA 24 in the last round of OP review was 1.64 million in total for the region. Right now it's 1.77 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Last question for me, Madam Mayor. We've talked a lot and heard a lot about fiscal sustainability, and I just wanted to ask a quick question on that topic specifically. And you know, Ms. Brioche talked about, you know, you can kind of break it down to your personal finances, and that makes sense, right? So when I'm planning my budget, I need to make sure that I am taking in enough to cover what I'm spending. And that, to me, is fiscal sustainability, that I know into the future I can have enough money coming in to pay what I know going out and, you know, hopefully contingencies, things like that. And so when we talk about offering options that maximize fiscal sustainability, I'm just wondering briefly in, you know, Cole's notes, if you can just capture what you're looking for to say, yes, this is fiscally sustainable.
Well, to be honest, through you, Madam Mayor, we've only really looked at that issue of fiscal sustainability from a pretty parochial definition of what the tax split is. And so we've said, we know that as we move closer to a higher split for non-residential, that's going, generally those are going to produce higher taxes. They have a higher weighted assessment, so it obviously takes more pressure off the residential tax base and more pressure off tax increases. But we haven't gone into the details to do a full-blown fiscal impact analysis to really understand what any of these scenarios mean from the aspect of fiscal sustainability. So I want to be clear, we've really only looked at it from a tax ratio scenario. I think we've heard a lot of comments about fiscal sustainability tonight, and I agree that it's paramount that we understand that. But to properly do a fiscal sustainable or a fiscal impact study, we really need to know a few things. We need to know, one, what the main aspect is, what's the capital, the cost that's going to drive the need for service, and ultimately what's the price tag. So that capital side is critical. So we need to have a pretty solid handle on what the hard infrastructure and soft infrastructure capital requirements are. And in order to do that, we really need to know geographically where that growth is going to be occurring. So we need to know where the road's going to go, where they're going to be, where the new road's going to be, where the expansion's going to be, where the new water and wastewater facility's going to be, where's the stormwater going to be, where's the new fire hall's going to be. We need to know that geographic, the quantum, and we need to know the location. Mm-hmm. We need to get that detail, and without that detail, we really can't do the proper comprehensive fiscal impact study that we need to do. We can possibly do some more high-level analysis. We did a bit of that in the 2005 growth analysis study, but it was quite similar to the approach we've taken here because of the same reasons that you just can't get into those detailed assumptions without something to back it up.
Yeah, no, that's...
And then there's the whole operating side and everything else, which we need to get into in a lot more detail.
Yeah, and that's totally fair and valid. The last question I have on that same subject is, when you do the in-depth fiscal impact study, do you simply look at, okay, so we're going to absorb this much population and employment, they are going to require X, you know, whether it's, you know, roads or bridges or rec centers or what have you. Does the analysis stop there, or do we, because I'm reflecting to our budget process, and our financial people have been really good telling us about, okay, you've built a bridge today, but you've got to maintain it
right. And
replace it in the future. Does your fiscal impact study look at, okay, now you've got this, and say development charges pays 90% of a rec center. The liability financially long term will fall on the town, the tax base. Does that factor into your fiscal impact study?
Again, through you, Madam Mayor, there there are different levels of detail and depth that we can get into on a fiscal impact study. We can do, you know, a high-level fiscal impact study, or we can do a very, very detailed, comprehensive fiscal impact study. I'd say the most detailed fiscal impact study that I've ever been involved with has been in up in Barrie right now. They're annexing about 5,000 acres south of Barrie Innisfil. The price tag is about $4.3 billion to provide the capital for just external infrastructure and to also replace existing assets. So we can get into all that kind of detail, but in order to get into that really fine level of detail that you may be thinking about, I'm not sure if you're going down that this level of detail, but you need to have a an infrastructure study done. You know, you need to have engineering studies done on the hard services. You also need to have a pretty clear understanding of your asset management issues. So what's your existing replacement needs, what are your high risk and low risk replacement needs. I'm not sure where the town is in terms of addressing those things, mm-hmm. but those are issues that you definitely would want to be addressing in a fiscal impact study, as well as what's the overall capital amount and how's that capital cost going to be funded and all those things. So I think as we get further down this road, we're going to have to understand, okay, what level of information can we work with and how detailed can we get? I'm a little apprehensive that you're going to be able to get into the kind of detail that we're getting into in Barrie, because you need to have, that study was a $2 million study. It's gone on for over 2 years. It involved a year and a half of detailed engineering analysis. I don't think we're going to get into that level of detail, but so we've got to decide, you know, what's the scope. And that's going to be a clear task of the town to figure out how they're going to scope this when we get into the next level of work.
Okay. All right. That's it for myself. I just want to thank you again for the presentation and take the opportunity, Madam Mayor, to thank the public for coming out and speaking.
Thank you. I just wanted to add, while I was waiting, I was thinking about your first question about the non-res and res split, and I didn't want to give you an answer, but it occurred to me if I just look at the chart, I can look at, you know, there's a couple municipalities in here that currently have a 70-30 split. So to give you an idea of what those municipalities are, they're Whitby, Newmarket, Pickering, and Oakville are all very close. As of 2008, when we did this work, we're in that range. So that's the kind of, those are the municipalities that have that split today, where you're trying to get to.
Okay.
41. That
okay.
helps you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor McClure. You have to put your mic on, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
We've listened to people talking for 3 hours, so I won't say much. I'd like to thank everyone for coming, and we've got a lot to think about. We got all these, but one thing I'd like to see happen, I'd like to see a rec center on the west side of town. Everything seems to me is on the east side by Bolton, so that's one thing I'd like in the future. But other than that, thanks for coming out. We've got a lot to think about.
Thank you. So I would assume that, I don't have any other speakers, so I would assume that you'll be working with the Region Appeal on the infrastructure costing, that sort of thing, and what it's going to cost. Well, I know that the Region Appeal is at about $1.3 billion now in debt for infrastructure, for growth, which eventually DCs pay back, but if you ever go into a slump, it's pretty tough to pay it back. So I would assume you're working with, you will be working with the region as we move forward, okay, on those costs. And I know that the Region Appeal is looking at no longer front-ending sewer and water infrastructure, that the developers will have to start front-ending. It hasn't come to council yet, but it's coming. And I would think that when I look at the debt capacity that the region has taken on, I'm not so sure there's too many councillors around the table who are looking at going over $2 billion for debt. So it'll be quite interesting to see what's going to happen in the future. But thank you very much. I thank everyone for coming out. And this public meeting is closed. If you do have any comments or whatever and you want to get in touch with staff, please don't hesitate.